Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and with us today, and in this segment discussing the Coast Guard's modernization program, is Admiral Thad Allen, Commandant of the U.S. Coast Guard. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Courtney Bromley. Admiral, your effectiveness as a military, multi-mission, and maritime service depends in no small part on some of the key ideas about the way you operate. Could you briefly outline for us the Coast Guard's principles of operations?
I'd be happy to. Actually, we have them codified. We actually have a publication. We call it Publication 1, and it's what we call our doctrinal pub, and it's intended to be a summary of how we've evolved as a service with some of our history, but also how we operate. And I think there's probably no better example of how we demonstrated our principles of operation probably than during Hurricane Katrina. One of the principles of operation is on-scene initiative, and we expect people that have the capability and capacity to do something, whatever the problem is, it could be search and rescue, law enforcement, or environmental response, to apply everything they can on scene until they've exhausted all their means to do anything about it and then ask for more if they need it. There are a couple other things that are involved in that, too. We partner with stakeholders very well. And included in that is something we call the principle of restraint, and that goes clear back to the original tasking by Alexander Hamilton to the revenue officers that were created in 1790, and that's understanding that when we're working offshore boarding vessels, we're dealing with our fellow citizens, and they deserve to be treated with dignity. And there was an admonition that he sent out to everybody to make sure that the American citizens are always wary of government interference. And so we try and balance our need to conduct boardings and do what we need to do out there with the fact that we are dealing with citizens and they do have rights. And so the principle of restraint is very important to us.
So Publication 1, there's no doubt where that sits in the priority.
That's the reason it's number one. Absolutely.
Now, the increase in maritime threats and the utilization of the maritime domain has required you to be more adaptive and responsive to threats and hazards. Could you give us an overview of some of the core areas of modernization and what are the fundamental objectives of this modernization program?
When I became Commandant in 2006, actually before that, in the fall of 2005 when I was interviewed by Secretary Chertoff to be the Commandant, I proposed to him that if he proposed to the President to nominate me for Commandant, that I was going to undertake some sweeping changes in the Coast Guard. That ultimately has become known as modernization. I started out by outlawing transformation because I thought I was used too many places and I'm not sure I knew what it meant. But we finally, through exclusion, came up with the term modernization, and it involves a couple of things. It involves taking a look at our command and control system and whether or not that's effective enough to support mission execution. And then it looks at mission support, and these are the business processes, is make sure that they are enabling mission execution. And for many, many years, we've wrestled with some very, very tough problems, both in command and control and in logistics and maintenance and mission support. And my goal was to put that all together in a comprehensive plan on how to reposition the Coast Guard so we'd be more flexible and agile moving into the 21st century, and also to be capable of sensing more nuanced changes in mission demand and demands for our services, which I think we had lost a little bit after 9/11 with a focus on security. So it really is an effort to create a change-centric organization that's more adaptable.
Admiral, it's clear that your strength is in your historic culture and the character of the Coast Guard that has made it semper paratus, or always ready, for the past 219 years. It would be interesting to know, how have you leveraged the rich tradition and history of the Coast Guard to maximize the effectiveness of your modernization effort today?
Well, there have been many times in the history of the Coast Guard where we have adapted to change and made significant changes in reaction to our operating environment or introduction to technology. And I think sometimes after a couple of generations, we forget it. And as I told my people, sometimes we lose the courage to believe ourselves. And I'll give you a couple of examples. One was in the late 19th century when we had a fundamental decision to make, basically to shift from sail to steam. New technology was not well understood. A lot of people weren't in favor of it. We kind of pioneered shifting the patrols off this coast from sail to steam. Probably the biggest game changer, short of what's happened in the last 20 or 30 years with information technology, was the introduction of wireless telegraphy. A lot of people don't realize it, but we were the first to use wireless ship-to-shore telegraphy in support of law enforcement operations, and that was done in the late 19th century up in Puget Sound against the opium and Chinese illegal migrant trade. We know how to do this. we have to create an organization in the future that continually remembers it and doesn't have to reinvent it and lose a generation.
That's interesting. So you've always been at the forefront of some of the major industrial shifts in our country.
We tend to organizationally get comfortable in laps. You know, and what I'd like to do is create a Coast Guard where we continually remember that and are continually sensing our environment and changing incrementally rather than gathering it all up and every 10 or 15 years have to do chainsaw surgery.
So, Admiral, to that point, with most modernizations that have been successful, the reason they've been successful is because the success criteria has been defined up front and in the beginning so that people know which direction they're going. What's the definition of success for you with your modernization effort? And how are you formally tracking that in terms of the organization's performance and progress?
That's a great question. I kind of used a nautical metaphor when I became commandant. I proposed what I wanted to do to Secretary Chertoff. He understood that. I was nominated by the president and confirmed. And when I became commandant, when a new commanding officer comes on board a ship, he usually issues what's called a commander's intent. And so I kind of used that metaphor. I issued 10 commandant intent action orders to cover everything from looking at our acquisition program and how we're managing the Deepwater project to achieving a clean financial audit to taking a look at our reserve program. And I issued those 10 intent orders to establish the top level goals or framework that we needed to drive towards. That ultimately was transformed into four basic organizational changes we had to make in the Coast Guard. It had to do with our command and control system, our mission support system, and how we reorganize at Coast Guard headquarters to support the field. So all that has been laid out with goals and milestones, and we're well on our way to achieving them.
You mentioned Deepwater, Commandant. For our listeners' benefit, the Deepwater program is the effort to upgrade and overhaul the Coast Guard's deepwater sea and air vessels. And as we know, with any contract for complex products, they are risky for both buyers and sellers in the acquisition of those products, such as ships, planes, helicopters. They require very sophisticated contracting approaches. To that end, are there key lessons learned from such a large, complex contracting effort as Deepwater?
Oh, I think there are a number of lessons to be learned. If I could give a little bit of a historical context, in the early 1990s, we understood right then that we were looking at block obsolescence of a number of our assets and platforms in about 10 or 15 years. This had to do with the age of our cutters, the current state of technology of our sensors and communications equipment, and the aircraft that we were operating. After a lot of thought, and knowing that we were working in a very constrained fiscal environment regarding new capital investment, we came up with the idea to use a systems integrator and purchase an operating system as opposed to a specific platform. And the term we used at the time was system of systems. And we said if you're going to operate more than 50 miles offshore, there's going to be some kind of a mix of sensors, aircraft, and surface craft. If we gave you the problem statement of what we had to do out there, what would you build? Didn't presume a one-for-one platform replacement. And to that end, we awarded a contract to Integrated Coast Guard Systems, which was basically a joint venture of Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin. I don't believe the concept was bad. I think we failed a little bit in execution. In fact, we failed in some cases very badly in execution. One of the key things that I learned out of this, and I was on staff at the time, wasn't making decisions, was that if you're going to have an Integrated Coast Guard Systems and a lead systems integrator to do that for you, you really have to have an Integrated Coast Guard. You can't have stovepipes. And what happened was we weren't able to interface with the contractor the way we should have and put the proper controls over. And we are now changing that contract vehicle and kind of splitting it apart and becoming the lead systems integrator ourselves, which is in kind of keeping, I think, with the current political oversight we're getting. And I don't have any problem with that. And I think we've learned a lot from it. But a lot of the lessons from Deepwater were what I incorporated into those Commandant Intent Action Orders on how I thought we needed to reorganize and modernize the Coast Guard.
So as a follow-up, how have these lessons informed your efforts to reorganize and reform the Coast Guard's acquisition enterprise? And specifically, to what extent does the recent Sentinel project become a model for current and future Coast Guard acquisition programs?
Well, I'm glad you raised the Sentinel contract award. That's what we call our fast response cutter, which is going to be the replacement for our patrol boats. Originally, under the Deepwater contract, we were going to extend the life of our current patrol boat fleet and at some point buy patrol boats in the future. That particular portion of extending the life of our patrol boat fleet did not work for some technical reason. We didn't have performance out of the hulls, and actually I terminated the program and laid the ships up. That meant we had to accelerate the patrol boat replacement and do it rapidly, do it quickly, and do it correctly. We took the award of that contract back into the Coast Guard and basically assumed the role of the systems integrator ourselves and how that patrol boat would fit into the larger system. We recently awarded that contract, and it actually stood up underneath a protest to the General Accounting Office and actually a judicial review, too. So we think we've got it right. We did it right. It was openly competed, and we're in the process of building the first ship. So we think we're moving on in the right direction.
Excellent. And when's the first ship going to be put to sea?
About a year.
Oh, excellent. Good. Admiral, one of the persistent set of challenges across government has been the recruitment, development, and retention of highly qualified people in the workforce, and specifically in the acquisition area. How are you addressing these challenges, and what are some of the core strategies being employed to enhance your acquisition workforce?
You're hitting on a real key challenge, and not just for the Coast Guard, but I think for the entire government. If you hear what's been discussed with the new administration and the 2010 budget leading, including the Quadrennial Defense Review and the 2011 budget, a lot of focus on how well acquisition systems are performing, what we're doing about programs that have cost overruns and requirements that have not been checked. And a lot of that contributed to some of the early problems with Deepwater. One of the things we had to do was basically change our human resource system related to our acquisition programs, and we've done that. And that includes a lot of things. First of all, it includes just plain resourcing, putting enough people in there to do it, getting the people certified at the right program management levels, technical certification, where you actually have acquisition professionals doing this. You're not just assigning people with good intentions and a lot of experience. But retaining that workforce is very, very difficult because with the changes in the Department of Defense and elsewhere, everybody's going after the same people in town. And you have the potential in some cases of having a bidding war for people. So you got to do a couple of things. First of all, you're going to keep them if they have a good work environment and they have rewarding work. And I think we're there with our acquisition directorate. The second thing is expediting some hiring authorities. And we've had some regulatory relief within the Department of Homeland Security that's allowed us to do that. But in the long run, I think what you have to do is have career progression, offer training opportunities, and make them feel they're part of a team. We've been successful in getting some very, very seasoned professionals that have been in the shipbuilding community for quite a while in our senior executive service in the Coast Guard, and in my view have been the major key to the turning around of our acquisition program and the maturation to the point where we can do things like the Sentinel Contract Award.
So do you see some of these lessons and practices extending to the other components within DHS?
Well, I think across the acquisition programs, I think you're going to see it across government because there's a real premium being placed right now to bring a lot of contracting in-house to take a look at the different acquisition programs and how well they're being done. But moreover, we're seeing this across programs inside the Coast Guard. We're having a similar issue right now with our Marine Safety Program where you really need technically qualified people to do ship inspections and make sure that ships and waterfront facilities and so forth are being operated properly. And we've developed a similar human resource plan to help us source that as well.
Great. How is the U.S. Coast Guard employing social networking tools to collaborate? We will ask Admiral Thad Allen, Commandant of the U.S. Coast Guard, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.